Well, I'll preach to you for a few minutes. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of John, chapter number 7. Gospel of John, chapter number 7, verse number 37. The Apostle John. John, chapter number 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Now note verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto him, Why have ye not brought him? Look at verse number 46. The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Amen. Father, bless your holy word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. He spoke with clarity. He spoke to the point. And there was no ambiguity about what he said. He came clearly to the point and spoke to the issue where a child could understand him. And that, of course, should be a lesson for us today. We're not up here to impress people with a big, long vocabulary and a bunch of degrees hanging off of our name. We're here today to preach the Word of God. Amen. And in Matthew chapter number 19, in verse number 3, the Scripture says, The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? He answered, said to them, Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? So I think it would behoove us today to see what he said, don't you? Never man spake like this man. Now this cannot be exhaustive. There's no way in the world I could cover everything that he says. But I can sure deal with some issues and some points I believe that may be very relevant for this culture, the good old culture of America in 2025. Amen. You know what he said? He said there was a beginning, and he said it was male and female. In the beginning. In other words, a man and a woman, XX chromosomes and XY chromosomes, there is a definite difference between the two. And if you can't figure that one out, you need to go back to square one and let's get this thing started all over again, because we got a problem. It's not a problem of facts, it's a problem of ideology. Amen. It's not facts, it's ideology. It's how you view things and how you approach them. And however much that your brain has been washed to the point that you cannot differentiate things that are different, and they are different. So the Bible is a very clear book. It doesn't leave us in shadow. It doesn't leave us in the dark. It comes out and says that God made man and woman, male and female. A favorite expression of Christ was this, it is written. And another one was, have you not read? He constantly made reference to the scriptures. And of course, the scriptures of his day, Matthew through the book of Malachi, or in the Jewish order, Matthew through 2 Chronicles. And he made constant reference to the scriptures. He said that not one jot or tittle shall fail of the scriptures. All shall be fulfilled. That scripture is just as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. Don't ever let some liberal stand up in the pulpit and tell you that we are disassociated from the Old Testament. He says that in his ignorance, because he doesn't understand the Old Testament. He thinks that you should shut it off. No, sir, my friend. Comparing scripture with scripture, the Old Testament has its place, the New Testament has its place. So the scripture, it is written, have you not read? The Lord Jesus mentioned Adam and Eve. He mentioned Abel. He mentioned Noah and the flood, Moses, Sodom and Gomorrah, Elijah, Solomon, David, and many others. He mentioned them constantly made reference to them and used them in illustrations to illustrate and make further understanding of the word of the living God. The scriptures, John chapter number 5, verse 39, he said, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me." Remember now, when he said that there was no Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, no New Testament, and not one single word of the New Testament had been written when he said that. He called the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the law, the prophets, and the writings, he called them the scriptures, and he said, "They testify of me." The Lord Jesus Christ can be found, therefore, in all of the scriptures. Luke chapter 24, verse 25, he said to them, "O fools, and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The Samaritans reject the prophets. The Samaritans have the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And the reason they do, of course, is because they are ancient people, just like the Jews, half-breed Jews. But they reject the prophets and they reject the writings. So they've only got a third of the Old Testament. And he tells them in Luke 24, he expounded to them. And I take that as a rebuke to myself, because I say, "Lord, I believe. Lord, help mine unbelief. I believe the Bible, but I do sometimes fall into foolish notions by not literally taking it into my heart and soul and getting out of my mind and getting it into your heart. When the scriptures get into your heart, it changes you. It increases your faith. It turns the lights on. It gives you witness in this world. You can walk higher than you could ever walk physically if you believe the scriptures." And I believe them, my dear friends. And so I pray as the man did, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." Yes, sir. Do you believe the scriptures? The Lord Jesus said something about the spirit world. In Mark chapter number 9, verse 25, when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." Thus classifying demons, classifying evil spirits that can come upon you and bring certain diseases or problems into your life. And he makes it very clear that if you believe the Bible, and these scriptures and these demons are still with. Now listen, folks, I realize that we have an awful lot of Christians today who want to sanitize everything. So, folks, Christianity and our faith can get down and dirty every once in a while. Why? Because some of the stuff you've got to deal with is down and dirty. And you've got to deal with it on the face of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 4, verse 33. "In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Let us alone.'" Notice the screaming, the yelling, as it's associated with our Lord Jesus Christ. All he has to do is get around them, and they get very uncomfortable. That's a good sign of what you have in you. If you sit around all puffed up, all drawn back, and full of yourself all the time, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's a spirit, all right, but it's not the Holy One. It's an unholy one. Notice what he said, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?" And absolutely they had nothing to do with him. "Art thou come to destroy us?" They knew something. "I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." I would that all the liberal preachers, if you want to call them preachers in this country, would get a hold of that and start preaching the Holy One of God. Amen. If they just get rid of a lot of that foolish junk they wear, just take it off, all of your creations and your circles and your all of this stuff. Just get it off. Amen. Put on something and get up and open the Bible. Amen. And start preaching to people. Amen. Matthew chapter number 12, "Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself." I don't know how many of these murderers have said it started simple with me, and then it got worse and worse and worse. And the first killing that I made did something to me, and I had a desire, I had a hunger, I wanted to kill more. Yeah, that's the way it is. That's exactly the way it is. So the Bible says, he taketh himself seven other spirits. Luke chapter 8, verse 28,
When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with another loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." It gets something. There's just something about this at this. When you begin to read the Bible, it has its dark sides, but it's also got its light. It's got joy, but it's got sorrow. The Bible is a complete book that deals with all the aspects of our life. The problem in the preaching in the pulpit today is they're just the people, these guys get up and it's all about just making motivational speakers. That's what they call them. We don't need motivational speakers. If you want to do that, go sell Ford or General Motors. Yeah, and you want to motivate, that's fine. Go ahead. But get out of the pulpit and put a man of God that'll open the Bible and preach the Word of God to men as they are. We don't need motivational speakers in the pulpits. We need preaching of the Word of God. Now, he said something about religion in Matthew chapter number 15, verse 14. "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." My friend, he had no mercy for religion. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "You're blind. You're blind leaders of the blind. You're telling men in this. You're teaching. You're standing on the street corner. You're in the synagogues. You're opening up the Bible. And yet you're as blind as you can be." He said in Matthew 23, "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. If you do not believe in the blood atonement of Christ, you're blind. If you do not believe he died on the cross for your sins, you're blind. If you do not believe that he was buried and rose again the third day, you're blind. If you do not believe that salvation is by grace through faith and faith alone, you're blind. And if you do not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved, you are blind." Oh yes, you may belong to the community of faith. Oh boy. But you're blind as you can be. Amen. That's so sad. You say, "Preacher, you're preaching that Christianity that is so exclusive now. You're getting up and telling people that Christ is the only way. Now, don't you realize that the culture in America is not going to accept that today? Don't you realize that we progress past that while we have the progressive left and the progressive right? No, you're not progressing. You're digressing. You're regressing. You're going back and down. We need to go forward in Christ, and that's the only way. Amen. And if they shut me off and throw me out, that's okay. That's the way for me to leave. You see, I got it all planned, folks. I'm getting ready to leave. And I'm going out. And when I go on out, I'm going out with a fight. I don't have much time I got left, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I'm not going to roll over and die. I'm going to fight to the end. Religion is blind. He said this about the approach to God. He said in John chapter number 6, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." John 14 verse 6, he said this, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is so exclusive. I mean, preacher, you think that the Christian religion is the only, not only am I used for the Christian religion, I'm talking about Christ. The Christian religion is an abomination. Everything under the sun calls itself a Christian. I'm talking about the only name under heaven whereby we must be saved. And here's what he said in Luke chapter number 10, verse 22. "All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him." And he has revealed so much of Christ to me, but there is so much more to know of him. But I know whom I have believed. Amen. 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 And then he had this to say about his own identity. He said in John chapter number 1 and verse number 18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And then in John 14 verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" You say, how do you explain that? I don't explain it except to say that when they looked upon the Lord Jesus Christ, they looked upon the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. That's what that means. That's right. And the essence of the Godhead is a mystery and will remain a mystery until it is revealed to us, and only God will know and show us that way, which in his time he will show. Who's that blessed and only potentate? The King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can see, which no man hath seen, to whom be honor and power everlasting. A light that no man hath seen nor can see. That's a mystery. And it's the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Our problem is today that we get too arrogant and we think we've got God figured out. I don't have him figured out. No way under the, but I believe him and I love him and I believe in him. And he'll show me what I can handle in due time. And that's what we're preaching to you this morning. He revealed his identity. And then he talked about accountability. In John chapter number 15, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now have they no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. And if I had not done among them the works which no man, no, none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. In plainer words, for Christ to walk in their midst 2,000 years ago, and for them to see him for who he was, they have no excuse. They have an accountability unto Almighty God. You're accountable for the light you have, for the light you want, for the light when it comes and when you reject it. You're accountable unto Almighty God, every one of us that's walking the face of this earth. Are you, you're accountable. Do you want the truth? Yeah, I do. Well, the truth will come to you. Amen. And when the truth comes to you, you're accountable to God as to what you do with that truth. What are you going to do with it? When he reveals the truth, he said, sanctify them through thy truth, by thy truth. Sanctify means to set apart into a place of belief by thy word. Sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want the truth personified, the Lord Jesus Christ is the eye of God, truth. He's the mind of God, truth. He's the hand of God, truth. He's the minister of God, truth. Every step that he took upon this earth was the truth of God walking and living amongst. Amen. Oh boy, I wish we'd get a hold of that. I wish we'd get a hold of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is every single thing there is. And apart from him, there is nothing. And anything that arrogates itself to a place where it rises up next to him and says, see me also, shut it off. And turn it down. For Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Accountability in the Holy Spirit. He said in John 15, verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. Now watch this. He shall testify of me. If you stay around the church any period of time, if you come for any period of time, you're going to be around more spirits than you can imagine. They're crawling all over the place this morning. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. And some of them can quote scripture to you. Some of them will pray with you. Some of them will read the Bible with you. They'll go so far with you. They're religious spirits. They're everywhere. They're all over the place. But let me tell you something. This is the acid test to tell if the one, the spirit that is in that one, who wants your attention, who wants your fellowship, who wants to walk with you. And it is simply this. He shall testify of me. He shall not speak of himself. If that person does not have a real testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, if they do not have a real testimony where they know the Lord Jesus Christ, if praise and glory and adoration does not come forth from them, maybe not every moment, but there has to be a time it does. If praise and glory and adoration never comes from these people, it never really does come from them. You're dealing with a spirit, all right, but it's not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will glorify Christ. He'll exalt him. He'll lift him up. He'll magnify him and cause you to love him. He'll make him clearer and dearer in your heart and in your soul. He'll draw you nigh to the cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very, very light and heart of the work of the Holy Ghost today. A lot of people, they say, well, the Holy Ghost this and the Holy Ghost that and the Holy Ghost this and the Holy Ghost that. Listen, folks, you don't need to talk about the Holy Ghost in that sense. Simply preach Christ and the Holy Ghost is going to be coming around. He'll be everywhere. When you preach the Son of God, the Holy Spirit glorifies him that much more. Lift up his name, glorify him. And the Holy Spirit is free to do his work in a house in the midst of his people. Man, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 30. This is one of the most controversial scriptures in all the Bible. And I tell you ahead of time, and I respect people who have different views about things. I really do. I respect them. There are things that Christians can differ on. They certainly can. There are some things that Christians never differ on. And that's the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, the death, burial, and resurrection, the virgin birth. Amen. There's no difference in that. If they don't believe in that, they're no Christian. But look at Matthew chapter number 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Now watch carefully. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Paul spoke against him. My goodness gracious, folks, how many of you ever said anything about Christ before you got saved? I did. But he forgave you, didn't he? Of course he did. Now watch this. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So what is that? That is the work of the Holy Spirit doing his work in your heart and in your soul to bring you to believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you, he will speak of Christ. And so therefore, to reject the work of the Holy Ghost in your soul, try to convict you and draw you to the light and get you saved, you reject him, reject that, there's nothing left. There's nowhere to go. That's unpardonable. And that's what he's talking about. Neither in the world to come. And then finally, not finally, but one before the end. What did he say about hell? Luke chapter 16, verse 21. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. Came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment. So they buried his body. Notice carefully now how clearly the Bible makes a distinction. They buried his body, but of course he went on and continued to exist. For his soul lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom, cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. That's awful. I get no glory. I don't get no pleasure from this. This doesn't make me feel good. I've seen an awful lot of things, though, in my few years on this earth. I'll tell you right now, boy, I mean, I've seen some things on this earth where the door should be open and they should be sent straight to hell for what they're doing and what they have done. It's awful at what some people do. But you know what determines whether we go to hell or not? The door. The way. Because there are people right now in the pulpit preaching the word of God that should have been in hell, but God was gracious and merciful to them. Sitting in this house this morning, you might be one in here right now. You deserve to go to hell just as surely as you live or die. But God was good. He is good. Do you believe, preacher, Luke 16 is not a parable? No, it's no parable. It's no parable. It's as plain and simple. Watch this. Father Abraham, have mercy. Dip the tip of your finger in water. Cool my tongue. I'm tormented. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things. Likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he's comforted and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that
They which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Have you learned yet that trouble and sorrow and hard times do not bring Bible conviction? How many have learned that yet? Oh, they may for a while feel sorry, want to, you know, get right with God, do some this and that and so forth. But it doesn't. What brings Bible conviction? Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no scriptural Bible conviction. Remember the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. If there's no Holy Spirit present, there is no blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Sinners, yes. But you see, this is big deal. Big deal. Some folks, they get churchianity. Wife leaves them, lose their job, get sick. All kinds of stuff can happen to us. It happens. Run down to the altar, gather around, have a good cry. People gather around with them. And then they go on with their lives. Sometimes they get their, you know, problems taken care of. Sometimes they don't. Bottom line is, though, that it doesn't change them. The only thing that can change you is the work of the Holy Spirit. How do you know I'm changed, preacher? Because there's a definite difference inside your soul that wasn't there before. There's somebody living in you that wasn't in there before. There's somebody alive in you. There's a life in you. I went 27 years without the Lord. And then he moved into me. And just in the last few days, it was some kind of a, I don't know what, I can't explain it, but there's just something coming over me. And I even said, I hate you, you old, dirty, low-down, stinking dog, Charles Lawson. Before I got saved, that despicable, wicked, vile, what I used to be. I'm not you anymore. And there's not much of you left. You like to work on my mind. You like to move in my life. But I despise you. And I'll be so glad when the day comes that I'm done with you. Say, boy, you must be ready for the funny farm. Well, we'll have a good time together. Amen. You're going with me. But that's not me. The apostle said, and such were some of you. Hallelujah to God. Because there's one up here this morning that loves our Lord Jesus Christ, that's been saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I mean, I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Not because I say I am up here, it's because there's something in here. And it's not going to change. And I thank God for it. In Matthew chapter 10, now listen to this. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And then Luke chapter number 12 and verse 5. And this is one of those that you need to read and make a note of it and meditate on it. This is what the Lord Jesus said, folks. Notice everything I've read to you is what he said. Luke 12 verse 5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Man, that's a warning, isn't it? Yea, he said, I say to you, fear him. Have you thought much about going to hell? Have you thought about it? If you're in your right mind, you don't want to go to hell. No, you don't want to go to hell. Believe me, you don't want to go to hell. Back when I was younger and had more energy, I preached a message on hell. God gave it to me one evening, and I got up and preached it.
God gave me the strength to preach that message. It took a lot of effort. I'll look at it occasionally and I think, good night. I don't have that kind of energy anymore. But I'm glad he gave it to me when he gave it to me. Folks, they're still today. They're still watching that and getting saved.
Amen.
They're getting saved. They're still getting saved. You know why? They don't hear it anywhere. They don't hear it anywhere. American churchianity has long since departed. Listen to this. I forewarn you who ye shall fear. Fear him. I wouldn't get up this morning. I wouldn't walk out that back door. There's no way under the sun. I got in my car yesterday morning. I pulled out of my subdivision onto the highway. I've been driving a long time, people. And I looked down the road, and this guy comes around. He's in my lane. He's headed head on. What do you do? He's head on. He's coming right at me. I said, Lord, help me. I started heading for a ditch. I was getting off the road. The last thing you want to do is hit somebody head on. And so off I went. Got as far as I could, and he came by me. And all these cars lined up down there, flying down through here. And then cut back into the traffic and headed on over the hill. He could have killed me right on the spot. He could have died right there on that spot. We could have died together right there on that highway. If I had died there yesterday morning, I'd have gone on to heaven to be with the Lord. Him, I have no idea where he'd be going. I have no idea where he'd be. But I thanked the Lord all day long. I said, Lord, thank you. Because I know how close that was. I know how close we came. I said, thank you, Lord. You got a reason to leave me here. Because we could have had a head-on collision right off the... I'd have just pulled out on the road. And God was with me, got me through it. And I thanked the Lord. Apparently, you're going to have to suffer with me for a while longer. Amen. That's all I know. He's not ready to take me yet. This is the last thing. He talked about this. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself at where I am. There you may be also. Streets of gold, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. These are all beautiful things, but they're things. It's a place. I don't care how beautiful that place is, it's still a place. He says, I will come and receive you unto myself. The Apostle Paul said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far greater. That's our future. That's where we're headed. We're headed to that one who is life himself. We're headed to that one who will show us the Father. We are headed to that one who will open up the essence of the mystery of Almighty God. That's where we're headed. Amen. And I pray today, if you know the Lord, that you've got your mind set right now. If you've got your heart in the right place. If you don't, why don't you do it today? This would be a good time to get your heart in the right place. People got up Thursday at 10 o'clock. They were out here at some of these stores at night. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. All night long they sat out there so they could be first in line on Black Friday. I've heard Black Friday so much, I'm about to scream. I'm about to run off into the woods and jerk what little hair I got left out. Black Friday, Black Friday, Black Friday. Didn't exist when we were kids. I forget when it came in. They're eating up with it. I think that's what that guy was thinking about that was going to slam head on into me. And the same day, I had two other instances where I almost wrecked. This one guy's in the car, talking this much behind him. And here I come, and he pulled almost right in front of me. They go crazy. Folks, enjoy Christmas, enjoy New Year's. But one day it'll be behind you and put the future in front of you. Amen. The one we serve today is from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Amen. When the bills come in and they're all depressed, And that's the way it gets in January. You can have joy in your heart and in your soul and go forward with the Lord Jesus. Bow your head with me. Father, I pray you'd use what little I've said this morning. I pray you'd bless it. It's your word. Try, by the grace of God, to exalt our Lord Jesus. Lift up his holy, righteous name. In thy name I pray. Now, are you in this house today? And you don't know where you're going. Say, I don't, preacher. I'm afraid I might go to hell. You don't want to have to go to hell. You don't have to. Good, listen. You do not have to go to hell. Can I go to heaven, preacher? Christ has already paid for the door to heaven. Paid for it. You don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. But whatever you've done, he died for you. He paid your sin debt. I'm not the one that forgives you. I'm just the preacher. I'm the messenger. He does, though. And there is no sin that you can commit on this earth that he can't forgive you for. He'll forgive you for it. Write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life and you go to heaven. Say, preacher, that'd be wonderful. I'd love to do that. Well, why don't you come down here and let somebody pray with you? You can get up and walk out of here this morning, and then you can prove to yourself, because you'll experience it firsthand, what I've been preaching to you. Born of the Spirit of God, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you want people to know about it, because before you couldn't see it, and now it is a reality in your soul. Won't you come? Won't you come, anybody? Just come down here and pray. We'll be glad to pray with you. Come on, you can be born again. You can be saved. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go. Won't you come? Say, Lord Jesus, would you save a wretch like me? Yes, he would. Yes, he would. Anybody? Father, I pray for these folk who heard your word this morning now. It's not my place to produce results. It's not my place to move further past delivering the message as the messenger and praying for them. That's as far as I can go. I cannot move in their heart. I cannot do what the Holy Spirit alone can do. And I pray that you do now today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, brother, we've got a song here this morning.